Hey, baseball fans, go yard with BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Enjoy top odds on your favorite home run bets, fast and convenient ways to play same-game parlays, special boosts and tokens, and so much more. From the first pitch to the game-winning fireworks, there are more ways than ever to supercharge your excitement. Download the BetMGM app and get your piece of MLB action. BetMGM is an official partner of Major League Baseball. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER available in the U.S. For New York, 8778-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. First bet offers for new customers only. All other promotions for existing customers. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hi, I'm Matt Lieb.
And I'm Vince Mancini.
And this is Mad Yourself a Man. A Madman podcast where Vince Mancini and I go through every single episode of The Mad Men
and talk about it.
Thank you so much to everyone who has been listening to this podcast, who just started listening to this podcast. We encourage you to please give us 5 stars and a review on whatever app you use to listen to podcasts, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, any of that shit. If you have the opportunity and ability to make a comment, leave a message, give some stars, please do so. We get a lot of messages, and I love, Vince, I love our messages.
Do you? They're great. What kind of messages do you like that we get?
Well, somebody answered a question for me.
Who?
Well, okay, so you know how last week everyone was asking, like, you know, how big is Matt's penis? You remember that?
Oh, yeah. People are always asking
that. And someone
it's a question that's been itching and burning in their minds.
Everyone's always thinking it whenever I'm talking. And someone answered it with this comment recently.
The answer is huge.
It is a huge penis. Patreon.com/broadcast if you want to listen to these episodes early.
You're so silly.
I'm having so much fun being Ira Glass. So chapter one.
This week on the show.
chapter one, Mad Men. So I was just like, you know what's so funny is occasionally I was like listening to old episodes of This American Life and he was talking about a divorce he was going through. And I was like, oh man, that's right. He's like had sex before.
You know, because there was someone who wrote him into like a graphic novel that she was writing about like dating this pretentious guy who was like mean to her.
Oh no, really? He was,
yeah.
I think he's pretentious. I don't think he's mean.
You wouldn't think so. Although that one episode where he talked about how they had the dog that bites people and is allergic, progressively allergic to every meat to the point that they now have to buy the dog kangaroo meat off of the internet to feed it.
Yeah, I know.
That gave like the most vivid window into someone's life that I think I've ever gotten.
Yeah. It answers the question like, you know, what kind of person, you know, doesn't just kill the dog. You know, it's like, what can you do? Anyways, Ira, open invitation to mad yourself some men with us. Please let us know. All right, we're gonna be talking about from season 2 of Mad Men, episode 5, The New Girl, starring Zooey Deschanel. Just kidding. And today we have our returning champion, someone who has been on this podcast many times before, as well as I believe has actually spoken to either Ira Glass or people who work with Ira Glass. Ladies and gentlemen and everyone else, please welcome back to the podcast Dopey Dave from the Dopey Podcast. What's up?
Thank you, guys. I'm good. I never got to talk to Ira Glass,
Oh.
but he did talk about my show. He liked,
I know.
He liked,
wow.
the, He liked the show. He said nice things. Yeah. Nice things. He compared me to Howard Stern, which was very, very nice of him.
That's nice. That's a, you know, Howard Stern is
And he is actually a Sterny, which is one of the more interesting things about Ira Glass.
No way. What do you mean?
Yeah. He's a, Ira Glass listens to Howard Stern.
He loves Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That is so weird. I mean, it's like, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with liking Howard Stern, but it's just imagining Ira Glass listening to Howard Stern as he interviews a porn star on top of the Sibian. You know what I mean?
Like, I think he's like a long time.
Baba Booey, Baba Booey. Baba Booey, Baba Booey.
No, I think he appreciates Howard, like the longevity and like the bigger picture of it. And I was very stupid, I think, because I probably could have had Ira Glass come on Dopey in that moment.
Mm.
I just wasn't a real Ira. I didn't know enough about Ira, really. Like, I used to listen to This American Life on heroin and drive my old girlfriend to work in Los Angeles and listen to This American Life on heroin. But I was really just being more opportunistic when I got us on.
Yeah.
And I probably could have had him come on in a small moment. And I think that window is now closed.
You know what? It's never say never. And also,
listen, when a window closes, you break the glass.
That's right. The Ira glass.
The Ira glass.
There's something there.
There's something.
I like it.
We can work on it and we can get it good. We just got to bring it to the writer's room. Well, it's a great podcast, Dopey. And you are on a great podcast now. The Mad Yourself a Man.
The best. People say.
People are saying it's the world's only Mad Men podcast. I believe I asked this the last time you were on, but I'm going to just keep asking. Dave, do you have a favorite advertisement?
Well, last time I was on, I cited the iconic Reese's Peanut Butter Cup commercial with the Hershey bar into the peanut butter.
Yes.
But I didn't want to do that again. So the commercial that always pops into my head as one of my all-time favorites is a classic 80s spot for Polio string cheese, where blonde guy goes into pizzeria and he says, "I want a slice of pizza, but hold the tomato sauce." And the guy goes to the pizza maker, "Hold the tomato sauce." And then the guy says, "And hold the crust." And the guy says, "Hold the crust." And he goes, "Hey, Jimmy, give me a pizza with nothing." And the pizza maker guy goes, "Nothing?" And that was a big, big commercial. When
I have that right here.
"Fred, give me a pizza with extra cheese."
"Extra cheese."
"And hold the tomato sauce."
"Hold the tomato sauce."
"And hold the crust."
"Hold the crust." "Hey, Jimmy, give me a cheese with nothing."
Now you can have the best part of the pizza without the pizza. Polio string cheese, all natural, individually wrapped cheese snacks.
Is this what you want?
Bellissimo.
Magnifique.
C'est bon.
Try Polio string cheese. Wow. It's the best part of the pizza.
That is incredible. I love it because the guy calls him Shimmy. Like, he doesn't, am I wrong? Let's hear it again.
"Hey, Jimmy, give me a shimmy. Give me a
It's a soft J.
"Hey, Jimmy,
Hey, Jimmy." I love it. He's so Italian.
You know, New Yorkers, they just slide through those consonants like they aren't there. Like, they're just like a car sliding through the slush while the driver's getting a blowjob or whatever.
What's great about this commercial, you know, it's just audio for y'all at home, but I'm watching it, and behind it, behind him is a sign that says "Be patient, meatball," which I love. I love that there's a pizza shop out there that's calling people meatballs. And I love all these kids, you know, saying all their, you know, Italian words. I also love that in the 80s, like, a little bit, Italians were still not white, so all these like little white kids, they're literally blonde and blue-eyed, and they're just like bellissimo, que bella. So funny.
You could not watch TV when I was a kid without that commercial coming on 1,000 times. And if you find any 50-year-old from New York, they will cite the Polio string cheese commercial as very important.
I love it. That's a great commercial for string cheese. I feel like you don't see that anymore. Like, I think the last string cheese commercial I remember was for like Cheese Heads, and it was like, you know, cool cartoon guy. And I'm not, yeah, I've never been swayed by a
I don't
cool
need
cartoon.
To eat string cheese to be in my face, you know? I just want to know that it's just got cheese in there and it's individually wrapped and all natural.
Exactly. As long
we
as,
know.
As long as it's got big naturals, that's all I care about.
Yes, yes.
Dave, I want to ask you about Mad Men. Do you
the Christina Hendricks of mozzarella cheese? Sorry.
Yes, peel it back. I don't know what I was going for there, but Dave, this is the second season of Mad Men. We are now, you know, past the point of Dawn's. I mean, we're going to get a lot of Dawn's backstory. It's still, you know, coming through, but it's no longer this threat that is hanging over his you know, his head. Do you have a favorite season of Mad Men? Like, there's so many seasons. Is there one that stands out to you as like the season?
People say season two is the season. For me, is season two where I don't want to spoil the rest of your show.
It's 20 years.
What else is happening in season two? I don't have a favorite season. I like season two. I like season three. Mm. I like the one where he's newly divorced kind of living in Manhattan and struggling. I like it when Don is really struggling.
Yes.
That's my favorite Don Draper. Like real things are bad for Don is where I'm most attracted to Mad Men.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think, you know, I'm doing this rewatch and I'm realizing I like it when Betty and Don are nice to each other and they seem to be having a good day. I think I have the opposite thing where I'm just like
the root of the show. People always say it's a show about
a
guy
family.
And his wife who have a nice day sometimes. They're a good family.
Yeah, no, it's just you know, it seems to be you know, for me, like I get sad and uncomfortable every time Don is being a little rapscallion, and I'm just like, can't you just be normal?
I like it when he's a good husband.
Yeah, me
that's
too.
What I always say. I see. Since you all asked, for me, like, I feel like it's different than The Wire, where The Wire has very obvious. Like, I remember each season because it's all focused on a different thing,
right?
Whereas Mad Men, it sort of blends into one because, you know, there's not like other than like, you know, Don and Betty getting divorced, there aren't the obvious
that's true
signposts that differentiate seasons the way that The Wire did.
What I thought was interesting in this one in episode five of season two is I'm going to jump ahead for a quick sec, but
please.
When they flash back to Peggy in the hospital, they ask her what year it is, and it's 1960, which tells us we're at the dawn of the 60s. And it's one of the best things about Mad Men is where it stands chronologically in the 60s. And then I was thinking, they definitely skip years. They definitely weren't like sticklers for it's 60, then it's 61, then it's 62.
Right. Yes.
You know, so I love that. I mean, I've said this on your show last season. I think for me, Mad Men's my favorite TV show that was ever made. And I think it's because of the struggle of Don Draper and also things like in this episode, the introduction of the Xerox machine. I don't know why that means something to me,
right,
but for some reason it does.
Yeah. Mm. It's nice. I love it.
Don't you think Xerox should be a palindrome? Like, it's so close to being a palindrome.
Yeah,
and then they were like, nah,
it's
we're
a
not
very good
go
point. They
could have, hog.
They could have
been Xerox
or like, Xerox or Zorox.
Zorox. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They really fucked up, but this is not a show about Zorox. The emperor of the galaxy, I assume. No.
It's a bad guy in the Book of Mormon. You know it is.
Yes. Zorox fights off all of the Moroni and they have to use their magic trumpets to get him back in his spaceship. But no, this is a show about Mad Men and we cannot start talking about Mad Men until we play the theme song.
Mad yourself, man.
Mama always said you'd be there. Chosen
madman. Drunk.
Mama,
new advertising. Podcast.
Blue moon in your eye.
Mad. Man. Mad.
Yourself.
Podcast.
All right. Yes, ladies and gentlemen and everyone else, we're talking season two of Mad Men, episode 5, The New Girl. Vince, can you break us off a little piece of that synopsis?
Joan finds Don the perfect secretary, while Don finds himself in the middle of issues between TV comedian Jimmy and his wife, Bobby. Don and Peggy bond over each other's secrets, and Joan gets engaged.
Yes.
I think that synopsis is horrible. I don't think it's a good synopsis of this episode.
Boo.
I don't care.
It's not you, Vince. It's just like, it's so weird the way they describe it. Like, Don's new secretary is definitely not pivotal in this episode.
Not at all. In fact, it's weird that they call this episode The New Girl. I guess it's like, well, no.
Because Peggy's becoming a new girl.
That's why.
That's right. I forgot they're doing art.
They're doing art.
Oh, sometimes I forget about art.
It's the art.
Nowadays, everybody talk like they got something to say, but other times out when they move their lips, just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about art. Okay, so this episode came out.
Such a long buildup.
So long. August 24th, 2008.
That's what Cory Booker should have done, is just...
Do you think he slipped
into Eminem a few times?
Oh, he probably did. Can you imagine doing 25 hours straight and not eventually just going like freestyle mode where you're yo, what up? My name is LA Matt. Vince, this episode came out August 24th, 2008, but what was going on at the time that this episode was set in?
That's right, Matt. I think what you're trying to say is that we cannot evaluate a period piece divorced from its period context, and we like to put some of that context back in with a little something that we like to call the news machine.
Yes.
I wipe my ass with the Wall Street Journal.
There is no big lie. There is no system. The universe is indifferent.
That's news, isn't it?
All right, we're going all the way back. Setting the scene, August 24th, 1962. I tried to get a little bit of everything this week, and I really, this is one of my the more enjoyable news machines that I think I've done. Oh. These are all from the Miami Herald, interestingly enough.
Okay.
Headline on this one, Bees Break Up Bible School.
Oh, they always be doing that, these fucking bitches. Yeah. They come to Bible school. I assume you mean women. You're talking about bitches, right?
No, I wasn't censoring myself.
Oh, it's not hoes? Hoes came in and fucked up my Bible school.
B's and C's be breaking up Bible school. No.
Yeah.
Kansas City. Recess ended abruptly for a class of five-year-olds in the vacation Bible school at Glenwood Baptist Church. Mm. Someone stepped on a beehive in a chuck hole. Don't know what a chuck hole is. I guess it's not important because they don't explain it.
Mm.
12 of the 50 youngsters and 3 teachers were stung.
Oof.
Daniel Wayne Carpenter, stung 8 times, arrived home with a question for his parents. Why does God make bees?
I love that. Arrived home and said, there is no God. If there was God, he wouldn't have stung me with 8 bees.
Why does God make stingers, mother? Here's one. This one's more of a, this one's more of a serious sign of the times kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
JFK may slash spending as prelude to tax trim. Mm. Washington, the Kennedy administration is considering a slash of up to 3% in federal spending this fiscal year as a gate opener for its tax cut move in January. The action could reduce, could produce fringe benefits, blunting Republican use of the spending issue in the fall election campaign, and possibly giving business more confidence in the administration. Coupled with economizing already planned by the Defense Department, the cut would save almost $2.8 billion this year on the overall $92.5 billion budget. Defense Secretary Robert S. McNamara announced in July that he planned to lower defense costs about $750 million this year and boost savings to about $3 billion a year within 5 years. Do you remember the days when the Defense Department would just offer to cut their own budget?
Oh, don't worry. We'll cut our own, but it's fine. No, you know what? I think other people could use this money. We're fine. We're good.
We have enough bomb.
We got all the bomb we need. Please try to give people universal health care. That'll be fine.
Yeah. Those were the days. This one, I wish you could see the picture because it has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has a man wearing a babushka and Ray-Bans.
Oh.
A mugger got the surprise of his life when he attacked this New York bobby soxer. He quickly found that she was a he and a policeman to boot.
Patrolman Robert, you're going to have to start from bobby soxer because mm-hmm. I think I'm confused.
That's just a broad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't
dame?
But they say bobby soxer?
Yeah, you know how dames are always wearing bobby socks?
I don't think I know what a bobby sock is.
It's the socks that a British policeman wears.
All right. Now I'm
very
having
popular
a stroke.
Among women.
Okay. Okay.
No, I don't know. They're socks. What do you want?
Okay. All right. All right. Fine.
Maybe they're the ones with the little like knit balls on the back. Remember those? The socks?
I guess. I don't know. Christmas socks? I think you're thinking of stockings.
You don't know.
No, bobby socks have the little fringe around the ankle.
Oh.
That's what makes a bobby sock.
Okay, okay. And you have to be a woman to wear those.
In the 60s, yes.
Okay, yeah. Not anymore.
Well, you can wear them if you want now, Matt.
Not anymore. Not with all this woke in the water.
Kids are doing gender. There's boys wearing bobby socks.
They're wearing bobby socks. The frogs are gay. Everything's gay. I'm gay.
Patrolman Robert Crowley, dressed as a woman, took the knife from a man who attacked him in Central Park. Crowley, 6 foot, 200 pounder, was one of 10 husky policemen in women's garb who helped launch a drive on a street launch. Sorry, who helped launch a drive on street crime?
Okay, 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 okay. The cop was already dressed like a woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was dressed as a woman, and then
he's undercover.
Tried to mug him.
He's undercover.
So he was preemptively dressed as a woman, so that someone
and
would
then
come
some
and
mugger
mug him.
Was like, I see this big broad. She's probably got some.
And
cash.
Somebody, I,
she
that's
well fed.
That's incredible. That the fact that he was so confident that it would work out.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you'd just be like, "What'd you do today, honey?" It's day five of me dressing like a woman waiting for someone to mug me. That's incredible. Yeah.
Sending letters home to his wife from the Civil War.
Yeah. I don't know when I shall be in your arms again, but these there bobby socks are making me itchy.
This one is more about the juxtaposition. This is the last story, but they're two stories side by side, and I feel like you need to know that going in to enjoy them.
Sure.
Story on the left. 15 more commie ships headed for Cuba.
Mm-mm.
Washington, AP. 15 communist ships were reported en route to Cuba Thursday. They are in addition to 16 vessels said to have docked at Cuban ports last month, with an estimated 3,000 to 5,000 communist bloc technicians plus large quantities of goods, including weapons. President Kennedy acknowledged at his news conference Wednesday that the U.S. government has information that red supplies and technicians of rather intensive quantity in recent weeks have been landing on the Caribbean island. Kennedy gave no figures but said there is no information that Russian soldiers have come to Cuba or that the communist aid is a buildup for an invasion of another country.
Mm.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This
1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis hasn't happened yet, but you know,
it's about to
things
happen.
Are heating up. Yes.
Yeah.
Things
yeah.
are falling into place.
I heard of this Cuban Missile Crisis. I learned about it from Mad Men.
Yep. There you go. And then, like almost attached to this story, just to the right of it, headline: new launcher for beer cans. New York, UPI. The race.
Don't
for
worry
space-
about those commies. Don't worry about them. They can get all the missiles they want. We got these beer launchers. That's gonna. We're gonna just get them, beam them right in the head with a Coors.
It's funny that it has a headline because the story is really just one sentence long. But
yeah, I mean that's the story.
No, UPI. The race for space has a new entry: a beer can launcher that fires those empties as high as 100 feet as targets for shooting practice.
Cool.
Mm.
You see, this is why I understand the communists.
Yes.
Because they're like, listen, we got to stop America. They're just inventing things to buy. This is, they say it's all about innovation with a capitalist society, but this is rot. And we need to, arm Cuba. Wow.
Yeah, so I feel like you're properly contextualized. You know, we're just a nation of good old boys who want to drink some beer and shoot at them with guns.
Yeah, once we're done.
God decreed.
It's, It's funny. I'm not a drinker, nor a marksman, nor gun lover. But when I heard that story, all it made me want to do is shoot some beer cans in the sky.
Yeah,
I
know.
Really did. It felt like
a, I'll be real with you. That does sound sick, and I would like to do that. It is funny to for shooting cans out of the air to be such an American pastime that someone was like, "I love shooting cans, but."
Also getting drunk.
And I love getting drunk. But isn't there an easier way to combine all of my favorite things?
And how I'm tired of my friend throwing the can in the air.
Yeah.
My friend sometimes getting shot.
Yeah, I keep shooting my friend.
Yeah, my friend keeps losing hands. He only has two of them, and I only have three friends.
Finally, we're solving a problem that shouldn't exist.
Yeah, it's not a bad product when you really break it down.
Oh, God, I want to salute a flag.
Where's I'm not a marksman flag? Or a Karl Marxman.
I'm not a Karl Marxman,
like
but
to shoot beer cans out of my friend's hands.
It sounds pretty good.
It does. That sounds fun. Well, so now we are properly contextualized. This week's Draper D story, you can hear at the end of the program, but it is sung to the tune of La Bamba. Trudy just wants a baby. Trudy just wants a baby. So necesito una polka de Pittsburgh. Una polka de Pittsburgh, we bustin' a cup. Yariba, 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 yariba. The doctor says it's viable, and Trudy's mad. Yo no soy fucking sterile. Yo no soy fucking sterile. So viable, so viable, so viable. All right, that's you can listen if you want at the end. You don't have to. I don't think
Bambino.
Oh, that's better. Okay, look at this. Bambino. Much better. Thank you, Vince.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're getting to this episode. It's the new girl. Lots of things happening in this episode, by which I mean a couple of things are happening. I will say, for me, I very much enjoyed this episode, but a great deal of it, the bulk of this episode does concern Bobby Barrett and Don Draper mm-hmm. getting into a car
old
accident.
Old stank puss, we call her.
Yeah, old stank puss is recovering from a car accident and is staying at Peggy's place. Pete is masturbating into a cup in order to please his wife. And Joan is getting engaged, and Roger has thoughts about that. So, Vince, what are your thoughts about this episode?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a bulk of season two of Mad Men is about why do I forget his name all of a sudden? Don's curdled mentorship of Peggy and Peggy sort of becoming Don, and that's the bulk of this episode. There's also a few classics of the Mad Men sort of thesis statement, which is, this is America. Figure out the job you want and become the person who does it.
Yes, yes.
But really, I think the things that stand out to me most in this episode, things that I like the best, are just the weird non sequiturs, like Teddy Rumson playing Mozart on his zipper.
Yeah, that was pretty great. Dave, what did you think of this episode?
I mean, for my money, as a huge fan of this show, this is not one of my favorite episodes of mm-hmm. Mad Men. Mm-hmm. For non sequiturs, it might be the greatest non sequitur in the history of Mad Men, though.
That's true.
Pete coming into the cup to Roger hitting the fucking ball on the paddle.
The greatest smash cut ever.
Fantastic non sequitur.
Yeah.
But what I mean, I like the soul of Mad Men is in this episode at the very end mm-hmm. where Don sits with Peggy.
Yes.
Like for me, like it makes the whole episode work. Everything else, I don't dislike Bobby Barrett. I don't dislike, what's the husband's name again?
Jimmy Barrett.
I like where they go in the show. And I also like Bobby and Don's thing, but it's too much fucking Bobby and Peggy. Like there's two-thirds too much Bobby and Peggy mm-hmm. and too little Don.
Yes.
And you just need more Don. Too little Don.
Yes.
And then fucking, you know who I love?
Who?
I love that horrible secretary. What's her name? Lois. Oh, Lois is like, she is just such a train wreck, and she's always so nervous. Yeah. And I love to hate Lois. So she's always good for me. And I like how Peggy fucking puts her in her place.
Was that Lois in that scene? I thought that was someone else. Was it Lois?
What's her name? What's her name?
No, I know who you're talking about. The one who used to work the switchboard, Lois.
She worked the switchboard, and then she runs over the dude's foot with the lawnmower. She's the greatest.
Yeah, I mean Lois is I think one of the, I would say she's one of the like the unsung side characters of the show, but having never, you know, participated in like a Mad Men forum or whatever, like message board, I don't know if she's unsung. I'm pretty sure everyone who loves Mad Men probably loves Lois, but I've been skipping ahead. Like I started just binging the show cuz I just got to that point where I was just like, okay, I'll see next episode. And I'm happy to say that Lois continues at least throughout the next couple of seasons and is just fantastic. Like you said, she runs over
the
feet of some other executives.
I would like to see them remake Mad Men on HBO just to see
one tit.
Yes, but I feel
a
like
a single booby.
It does feel like redolent with the desire for the creators to include some nudity. Like I feel like you can just feel the spots where it would normally go in The Sopranos, which was what Matthew Weiner was writing for before this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree with you, but for a different reason for this episode. I wish they had a slightly bigger budget, just slightly. Mm-hmm. Because in this episode, there is a car crash that they do not show. Yeah. It is done off screen and it is done through sound effects. And I gotta say, I'm sure they just didn't want to destroy a classic car.
But
that's what the money's for.
But I don't think you need a huge budget to do a good car. Like, I mean, to me, one of the most memorable car crash scenes in cinema that stands out in my mind is in The Big Lebowski, where he flicks the joint into the back seat and there's just like the perfect slapstick of his shitty car. It like hits the wall and then it bounces up once and it drops and it's just like it's just like perfect visual comedy. Like I don't think you need to destroy, you know, like 10 cars or something, but just like something really silly and slapsticky like that works beautifully with that sort of thing.
The car crash in this episode reminds me of the old Toonces the Driving Cat sketch where you have them in the front seat and it's like, and then you're gone.
So it's like that fake car crash where you just hear a tire screech and then the camera spins around the car to give you like the idea that it's in a spin and then and then it just cuts away.
and you know, as you're watching the scene, you know, the build up to that car wreck is like you feel it while you're watching it, you know. This is also, like you said, Matthew Weiner wrote on the Sopranos famously has Tony and Adriana, you know, going off to cheat together, and then they get into a car wreck, and so it's like, you know, it's happening, but then when you see it, you're just like, I don't know, it was underwhelming. And I feel like, you know, hey, maybe a few more bucks, a little more money would have gotten it nice and car crashy. But
I know this is a show about Mad Men, but real quick.
Is it?
I've rewatched The Sopranos so many times. I'm rewatching it again now. Mm. And I've never even considered that they were actually going to cheat.
Really?
That, and that's how crazy I am.
Yeah.
But
who are going to cheat?
Adriana and Tony. Oh.
I never really, really, really believed that was going
to
happen.
I think Tony wanted it to happen. They were traveling to get cocaine.
There was an implication there, but I think it was deliberately very open-ended.
Yes, it was just implied. There was no explicit promise of fucky-sucky, but
it was enough that you could understand why Christopher would be
100%,
mad.
100%.
Yes. And you can understand why Tony would be mad, because he's like, literally, we didn't, and we weren't even going to like a hotel or something. You can't be mad at me for something I would have done had things gone right.
yeah.
But the way you describe it, Matt, it made me realize that that's 100% what they were doing.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. That's for sure what they were doing. And this is explicitly what Don was about to do with Bobby Barrett before, the accident.
I mean, they've already done it.
Yeah, no, I know. And, obviously it's the 1960s, so it's a lot easier to just lie about all of this.
I like that Don doesn't really, he's not really into her, but he just can't turn down like free sex.
Free stink puss. Sign me up. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Slither this way.
Well, that's a good question though. How into Bobby is Don in general?
Almost not at all. I think like with him, I feel like the impetus for him and Bobby hooking up was an episode or two previous when Bobby essentially said to Don that Jimmy, in order to make Jimmy happy, he needs to think he has a chance to sleep with your wife. And I feel like Don took that as like a challenge. I can fuck your wife way faster than you can fuck my wife.
I can see why you'd think that. My take on it is that Don understands that his life will be harder if he doesn't fuck her than if he does. Like, I feel like he understands that she is kind of annoying and persistent, and he might as well just fuck her until she gets tired of him and then be done with her rather than like playing this dance of keep away or whatever.
You know what I see it as?
What?
I think that Don loved fucking her, and I think the reason that Don loved fucking her is because Don grew up in a whorehouse, and she reminds Don of a whore, and she loves fucking, and she loves manipulating through sex, and she loves monetizing her sex.
Yes.
And he loves that she loves to get away with it.
Because he
loves to get away with it.
It's very Freudian. I like that. He's fucking his whore mother.
He's fucking his whore mother. Wow. But then I remember at the end of their relationship,
he gets a sense memory from Stank Puss. It just takes him right back.
No,
like the food critic in Ratatouille.
I just watched Ratatouille for the first time. It's very good. But at the end of their relationship, he's disgusted with her because she says out loud that she told somebody that she got the full Don Draper treatment. Yes. And then all of a sudden the curtain is lifted and all the allure is gone. But he loves her as a whore because he's also a whore.
Yes.
That's
Twatatui.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, no, it's true. Like he's more offended by the fact that she's talking to anyone about him or that anyone really talks about him in that way. Whereas she, coming from the entertainment industry like world, she's like, what are you talking about? I said this to feed your ego. And for him, he's such like a, Midwest private person thing, where like he values his like mystique and no one knowing anything about him. The fact that anyone would be talking about him.
Well, I think it's that his illusions are not play for him. Like
his
character work is done like it's deadly deep. Seriously. Like, he's in character. Like he does not break kayfabe.
No.
Ever. And to see someone like her where she's, constantly like code switching, he's like, nah, I don't do that. Like,
I have can I ask Vince a question really quickly?
Yeah.
During that whole segment we were talking about, I noticed you started to laugh to yourself. Then a couple pauses happened and then you came with Twatatui. Yes. Did you think it to yourself?
Yes.
Laugh for a second and then unleash the Twatatui?
That's exactly what happened.
I can't wait to get this one in.
I just want to make sure that's what I saw.
Yeah, no, okay, I was like putting that in my back pocket and I was like, oh boy.
This is very good. But yeah, so with regards to the Don storyline, we've gotten into it. Don gets a call from Bobby who just sold the new Jimmy Barrett pilot, Grin and Barrett, great name. And she wants to celebrate and basically is asking Don, hey, come over, we're gonna figgity fuck. And, you know, Don is doing the thing where he's playing coy. Although I agree with you, Dave, I think he is like, he would be happy to never see her again. Like, he has no,
yes, 100%.
Emotion. He has no emotional attachment to her. And that kind of persists throughout this whole episode. His complete lack of feeling towards her in any way, like even to the point of like, not, he doesn't even want to like reveal what his interests are with her. Like, there's this great scene where they're at dinner, and while they're, he's at dinner with Bobby, the Rachel Menken and her new husband, Tilden Katz, shows up, and there's like this awkward exchange.
He's got to be the only human in the world that's ever been named Tilden Katz, isn't he?
I mean,
I think that they almost named him Jewy Jewstein, yeah, but then they settled on Tilden Katz.
Yeah. But wait, Tilden is not, Tilden sounds waspy to me, no?
Yeah, but it's, Tilden is an attempt at, I think, like giving him
deep old countryness.
Yeah.
Deep old country.
I thought it was an attempt at like, hey, you know, we're in a new place, let's give this guy, his real name was probably Tevye, and they were like, you're Tilden now, and you know, and you love Christ. But yeah, he's, you know, obviously she married someone who is the opposite of Don in every way, I assume. Like soft-spoken, sweet, you know, kind of beta. And
controllable by Rachel.
Yes. And yeah, so I think in that moment Dawn remembers what it's like to like have a, you know, a deep affection for a woman and someone who he wants to get close to, and he also remembers what that led to, which was her, you know, absolute rebuffing of his feelings, and also like telling him, hey, you're being a child. You're just trying to run away from your family because Pete Campbell wants to tattle on you. Like, it is ridiculous. And so I think it does, like, both of those things simultaneously make him completely closed off to Bobby Barrett in that moment. And so she starts asking him, like, what do you like? And I have a clip of that.
You don't like negotiating. What the hell do you like?
What do you mean?
What doesn't do you have mean? To be in business. I'll take anything. You can't even answer. Do you like the ocean?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes, I do.
You like bridges?
I do.
That's two things you like. What else?
Movies.
So I just want to point out the closest he's getting to saying anything is like, yeah, I like the ocean, bridges are cool, and I love movies. Like, truly so superficial that I started wondering, like, does he not have interests? That is possible.
Oh, like traveling and music, birds.
Like, what is the answer? What does Don like? I mean, I think, like, the honest answer is, like, sneaky pussy. Cheating on my wife.
He loves fucking.
Yes.
He loves getting away with it. He loves smoking.
Yes.
He loves drinking.
Yes.
And he loves dominating.
Yes.
You know, and then he hates himself so much. I mean, I think that scene with Rachel Menken and Tilden Katz was very much, he like sees himself. He's like, he feels shame.
Yes.
He feels so much shame, and you feel it. You don't get that usually because he likes everything swept under the covers, and Rachel knew him, and he's like, oh my God. And she sees me with old stank puss. That's not a good look. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot of shame for Don.
Yes. Yes. He feels like, you know, yeah, I think you're 100% right. He feels very shamed in that moment. And, you know, he especially doesn't like the fact that the first person he's probably ever opened up to since, like, you know, since the OG Draper wife in California, you know, is someone who basically said, you're being a bitch, go away. And so, yeah, he feels like shit about it. But I don't know if he knows what he likes. I think.
Yeah, I think that's the issue.
If you were to ask him, you know, you might eventually get him. So what do I like to forget?
Yeah, I think. Yeah,
I think to forget.
No, I think that's the whole process of the show, is that he's like, he's working so hard to become one of the boys, like one of the swells. Like he has to work so hard to like fit in this milieu that I don't think he ever thought about what he actually wants.
Yeah.
What he actually likes. It's like he's been, all his efforts to this point have been geared towards just like being accepted, and then the beginning of this season is him, he has been accepted, and now he's like, okay, well, now what do I actually like?
Right. Yeah. So they get into the car, and she's, you know, all over him. She's like, ooh, you like bridges? Let's fuck. And then they immediately get into a car accident when he's behind the wheel and closing his eyes, which is like, yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah. Well, he kind of was like very unsubtle. He's like, hey, why don't you shut up that mouth?
Yeah, shut up that mouth. See it on my dick. Okay. And then he gets into a car accident. He's at the police station, and he's over the legal limit, which I think they say is 0.15.
0.15, yeah.
Which,
yeah,
is like, hell yeah, dude, the 60s ruled.
Yeah, that was awesome.
The legal limit was double what it is now. So
although I will say the fines, pretty hefty.
I noticed that. It was like it was over, like,
I wonder if they forgot to do the inflation calculating or something, because
I mean, I don't
he
know.
Told them it was $150. Anybody want to take a guess about what that was, that is in today's dollars?
What was it? 1,500.
Yeah, 1,579.
You know what's crazy is I now can do that math because
it's easy. It's like almost a factor of 10.
I just do a decimal place.
Don offers him $500 at one point, which is over $5,000, $5,200, which is pretty wild. And he also expects his secretary to just come up with $1,500 on the spot, which is pretty wild.
Yeah.
Not his secretary. Sorry. His copywriter. His
right.
Associate.
But not his secretary. So yeah, he's there. And the weird thing about this scene is, I mean, the cop is like, you know, you're going to have to deal with this right now, which I was like, is he asking for a bribe? Like, what actually is going on here?
He's not asking for a bribe. He's just, you know, he's being a hard ass because he's got this suit from the city and he wants to stick it to him.
Yeah.
I think he would have been happy with the bribe or to stick it with him. But yeah. Don couldn't do any of those things.
Yeah, I think what happened was Don immediately came out and he was like, come on, buddy. Like, he wasn't nice about it. Like he like immediately sort of condescended to him, like, you know, this isn't right. that big of a deal, let's be honest.
Kind right. of and he's like, do you see I have a gun? Yeah. Yeah, that's right, give me the money. So he calls up Peggy and says, Peggy, time to help out old Donnie Drapey. And Peggy shows up and pays for his bail, and then drives them both away from, you know, wherever the accident happened, away from the police station. She's in the back of the car, Bobby is, and she's all beat up. And Don is doing this thing where he is, it's one of the very good like motifs of this episode, which is that like Don being next to someone who is seeing him at his lowest makes him mad at the person who is next yeah. to him.
Well, and Peggy even sort of calls it out, which yes. I thought was a good line there.
Yes, I loved that. You know, the way she says something along the lines of like, you know, this
I will forget this, and I don't want you want you holding yeah. it against me because you associate me with this.
Right. Situation. I don't want it so that every time you see me, you think of this, you know, this is fixable. And which is, I mean, very, you know, very smart of her. Also, I think for her, she has a little bit of experience with that, as we do see later in this episode with the flashbacks that are happening, where
I think in that, and I don't mean to interrupt, but I think Please. In that scene one of the, it, this whole episode is a huge episode about Peggy's development,
yes,
and kind of becoming independent. And one of the weird little moments is when they argue about where Don should rent his car, and they start, right, arguing about which road in Long Island is faster to get to which airport. And Peggy's like, shuts him down. And she's like, no, the Grand Central LaGuardia is faster. We're going there.
Yeah.
And you kind of see Peggy's emergence,
yeah,
there,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, but no, whatever. 100%. Yeah. And, you know, I think Peggy is also, I think she's also a little bit pissed off because she is, you know, now a copywriter.
He's asking for her for a ton of money, and he like doesn't like.
And he's being pissy. He's being pissy, yeah, with her for no reason.
Well, you'd think he would immediately pay her back, and he kind of does it. And it's,
that's
like, okay,
one of the best parts of the whole episode.
Oh yeah,
that moment's like my favorite.
Yes,
moment.
That ties it all together. But yeah, so Peggy is offers to have Bobby stay with her. While Dawn, you know, goes back home to Betty, who's been worried about Dawn this whole time. And Dawn says, sorry, it's these new blood pressure meds I'm on, which is so I just love that as an excuse for pretty much anything, because you can use that for like, oh, that's why I, you know, that's why I got too drunk and did a racial slur. That's why I got into, yeah, a car accident. That's why my dick,
babe,
don't work.
Listen, babe. The blood pressure meds I'm on, it lowers my inhibitions. And
this is
I didn't want to fuck old stank puss, but yeah, listen, she was there. I have high blood pressure. What are you going to do?
It's literally what Vito Spadafore said is the reason he was sucking dick. Yeah, yeah. It's my blood pressure. Like, I love the blood pressure thing. And the funny thing about Betty is she's so like waspy that she's like, I didn't know that you were sick. And I was like, wait, all right, calm down. Like, there was something about like, I don't want to have illness around me, which, yeah, feels like very, I don't know what the word is.
Waspy.
Connecticut? I don't know. Yeah. It feels very like, yeah, that waspy to be like, you're ill? Ew.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't sign up to have broken goods. Or,
yeah,
you,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
Where do I return you?
You, yes, know, you know I'm a eugenicist, right? So, yeah. Meanwhile, Bobby is, who's that?
Hey, it's me, Brent. How you guys doing?
Oh, you know, just good, talking about illness.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sure some of our listeners have illnesses, and we probably have ads that'll fix those illnesses.
We probably do. All right, everyone, you heard the man. It's time to listen to some ads about lowering your HIV symptoms, probably, or whatever advertisements for medications you're about to hear. Or maybe it'll be for fertilizer. Anyways, stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, baseball fans, go yard with BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Enjoy top odds on your favorite home run bets, fast and convenient ways to play same-game parlays, special boosts and tokens, and so much more. From the first pitch to the game-winning fireworks, there are more ways than ever to supercharge your excitement. Download the BetMGM app and get your piece of MLB action. BetMGM is an official partner of Major League Baseball. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, available in the U.S. For New York, 8778. HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. First bet offers for new customers only. All other promotions for existing customers. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And we're back. It's Mad Yourself a Man here with Dave Manheim, the Manheim Steamroller. What's up, dog?
What's going on?
Anyone ever called you that?
I think it's been said.
Oh,
it's been said. It's been said through the years.
Have I told you that where the Leibs are longtime family friends with Cameron Manheim and the Cameron Manheim family? Are you related to Cameron?
It's a great question. Some of my family believes we are related, but I met Cameron Manheim at Katz's, and she said, no, We are not related at all.
And then she walked away.
But my family thinks that somehow we're also related to Jamie Gertz. They're sure we're... And she was at Katz's. I asked her. She said no.
Stick around at Katz's waiting.
Waiting for Jewish actresses to ask if I'm related to. It turns out I'm not related to any of them.
Well, I consider you a part of the Mannheim clan, even is if this, Cameron doesn't.
Is the Cameron Mannheim connection because she went to UC Santa Cruz?
No. Did she go to UC Santa Cruz?
Yeah.
Oh, no. It was my dad, old school friends with the Mannheims. They're all from Jersey. And so, you know.
I bet there has to be some relation.
I'm going to say there is. You kind of look like Carl, is the Cameron's brother. And so I'm going to say, yes, you're a Mannheim, which means you're coming to our Christmas Eve every year for the rest of our lives. So, we're talking about Mad Men, the world's only show about capitalism.
Here you finally tell me that you have showbiz connections.
I have one showbiz connection. Cameron Mannheim, who won an Emmy for The Practice and whose son is now a big Disney star.
Oh.
Good for him.
Yeah.
What, Milo Mannheim?
That's right. Milo. Yes.
Definitely related to my family.
Yeah. You're definitely, you are Milo's great cousin. Dave.
Yes. You should tell him don't say anything about Palestine.
He probably knows not to say anything.
Okay, good. Yeah.
You know what I love about the Mannheims, just real quick, is they're all, I don't think they'd mind me saying this. I think they're all like avowed communists. I remember the first time I ever heard, the union makes us strong. It's like glory, glory, hallelujah, but the communist version of it. I heard at a Mannheim party and I was like, these guys are cool. Anyways, Mad Men.
Man yourself a Heim.
Yeah, man yourself a Heim. So Don is saying, I have high blood pressure. And Peggy is hanging out with Bobby for the rest of this episode.
Before we move on, don't you get a little jealous about how easily Don gets out of any marital troubles?
I mean, 100%.
No. But it's only for now.
That's true.
It's only for now.
Short-term
games. She's young and dumb, and it has but it hasn't come back.
And her hands go numb.
We all know
yes.
that it's not going to last
yes.
for the young Drapers.
Yes, we know it's not going to work out. And Don, he's getting sloppy.
So, is it like getting the stranger, like if your wife's hands are numb gives you the...
you do this thing now. Sorry. You're waiting on your turn to say, to continue the bit you're doing. But yes, that is the stranger.
Mm-hmm. That's like double stranger.
It's kind of like cosplay, It's like, let's pretend we don't know each other. So the stuff between Bobby and Peggy is not my favorite, mostly because I feel like we're getting to know Bobby's neuroses and I'm not that interested in it. Like, she spends most of the time being like, so are you fucking him? She's jealous of Peggy, and Peggy's like, no, I'm not fucking with him. I've had genuine interactions with someone who at this point I would consider a mentor and possibly even a friend. And, Bobby's like, yeah, but are you fucking him? Are you in love with him? And I'm like, I don't care. I don't care about your shit. Bobby, fuck off. Through that, she's giving Peggy some advice, and the advice is kind of like, it's important. It's good for her to have advice, but I also feel like Peggy has been a really good student already. And so I feel like she's not really telling Peggy anything she doesn't know. She's like, her big piece of advice is like, don't try to be a man, you be a woman, and you're gonna have to start treating Dawn like an equal in order for anyone to take you seriously. And I guess you could claim, like, you make the argument that she takes that advice when she goes up to Dawn at the end and is like, give me the money. But at the same time, I just don't fully know. I kind of think that she would have done that anyways. I don't know.
Yeah.
What she does at the end is she calls him Don. She called him Mr. Right. Draper up till then. She calls him Don. But one of the other things, I don't like, I don't dislike Bobby, and I like Peggy.
Yes.
I don't like them together.
Yes.
There's no chemistry. The mm-hmm. scene is annoying. But I think the reason I love Mad Men in general so much mm-hmm. is because throughout the show, it's very inspirational with who you can be. It yeah. has this great buildup for being creative, for coming up with ideas, for how do you want to conduct your life. And I found a lot of inspiration on the show in general. Like, I really, like, I mean, I worked at Katz's for a long time, and I went from waiting tables to doing their, like, yeah. social media and shit. And I went into Mad Men world to do it.
Yeah.
And same with podcasting. And I think, although we can make fun of all of the schmaltz of it,
yeah.
when she says, figure out who you want to be and be that person, I yes. think it's very inspirational.
100%. And I think it's true. And I think it's, you know, kind of like, it is one of those things in the show where it's not that I don't believe that that is possible, but it's in this show, in this time period especially, I do feel like there was a time when in America, maybe you could fake it till you make it to a degree in which you could have some what would objectively be considered success. Whereas, like, watching this from a 2025 angle, I'm just like, yeah, I mean, listen, we're all putting on the suit of the person we want to be. Just so few yeah. of us are making any money doing it. Yeah. But, you know, hey, listen, we're all very grateful for our lives. What? So Peggy comes into the office and this is, you know, the day after, gets yelled at by Dawn for not having, like, you know, the money. Or
I thought he was just sort of keeping up appearances in that scene, but...
Yeah, sort of, but it's a great scene actually, because like she comes into the office and is like, I got my work done on time. Where's your work? He's trying to keep up appearances, certainly, but when Peggy closes the door and goes, I'm gonna need that $150 or whatever, Don goes, oh right, I guess when you try to forget something, you forget all of it. And
the best, maybe the best line of the whole episode.
Yes. And
because he means it. You feel yes, it really
100%. He's like, oh, right. I truly have been suppressing that entire memory. Like, I am in full method acting mode of I had high blood pressure and my fucking car went off the road. Like, he's convinced himself of it to the point where he doesn't even remember what he owes Peggy for all of this, which I think is supremely telling about Don's character and makes for, you know, one of the best characters ever written on television.
Remind me, though, is that after the flashback scene with yes. Peggy in the hospital?
Yes, exactly. So during the shitty Bobby and, you know, Peggy stuff, there are these flashbacks where you finally see what happened at the end of season one. You know that Peggy had a baby, and you know that when season two started, she's skinny and everything is just kind of like moved on. And you're just like, what happened? And you see that Peggy is in the hospital. She's on a gurney, and you know, you overhear the doctor talking to her sister and mother and saying she has some sort of psychoneurotic disorder. She's being asked, like, do you know what year it is? Do you know who the president is? And then finally, do you know why you're here? And she straight up is like, I don't remember, which I'm not entirely sure. Like, do you think she's doesn't remember? Is she going through?
No, she remembers having a baby. I think that there's like a jump between
Dave
that
says
and
no.
being in it.
Dave
I think there's a jump between that and a mental hospital, but.
I don't think she knows because of the medication. I don't think she knew she wasn't. Do you think, Vince, do you think she knew she was pregnant when she
no.
went in there?
No.
Okay. I think they medicated the shit out of her And in my understanding, she's kind of just waking up still deeply in a fog of medication.
Yeah, I could buy that. Yeah, but I also think that, like, yeah, I don't think not remembering why she's in a mental hospital necessarily means that she doesn't remember having a baby.
Well, I think the implication there is that the doctor says, like, I've told you this already, you had a baby. And so the implication is that she does not remember having the baby and is also suppressing this really traumatic thing that happened of her having the baby.
I don't.
So
yeah,
it's possible, like, I don't, Dawn, I don't, she yeah, I don't, is like, oh, right, I forgot. I forgot.
Yeah,
I,
but I also
it.
Feel like that is, I feel like the implication there is that the doctor is telling her that she should be more ashamed of this than,
oh,
she,
yes,
100%. Than she is.
Yes. Yes, I agree with that as well.
100%. I'm not a big trauma expert. However, this has to be like very, very high on the scale of big T trauma.
Yeah.
To get pregnant, not know it, have the baby, you know, have the baby, have them take the baby away,
yes,
and then you're there. This is the kind of trauma that I could imagine yields memory loss, confusion, mm-hmm, serious mental mental illness, which is why when Don looks at her, mm-hmm, and he knows that she's fucked,
yes,
and he knows that he could never see her again, and she could become this crazy person,
mm-hmm,
wandering around Brooklyn, feeding pigeons, pushing a cart, and he says to her, you don't need to do that. He
yeah.
says, you can close this up and you can pretend this never happened and you will be shocked at how much you believe it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And I remember at the beginning of season two, they're playing Let's Twist again and she's in the mirror looking good, forgetting, you know,
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Moving the fuck on with her life.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we got there.
Yes. I agree completely. And yeah, the line, it will shock you how much this never happened, is beautiful. Like he's basically just like, he's like evangelizing like the benefits of like totally shutting down the parts yeah. of your memory. He's like, no, seriously, bro, this shit is good. Suppressing trauma. I don't even know where I was born anymore, dog. I'm like, fuck it. Every day is like a Simpsons episode. I just wake up and new shit happens. Yeah. I deal with it. I go to sleep. There is no yesterday. Like,
well, it's also the benefits of deep dishonesty.
Yes, yes, 100%.
Deep dishonesty. He's like, this is all right. This will get you through it. And with him also, though, we see it catch up with him, you know, over
oh, yeah.
and over and over, over and over. On
oh,
the show.
Yeah. Yeah. It all catches up with him eventually. I mean, and like you said, over and over and over again. But for now, it is just great character development, because you're just like, oh, yeah, that's right. Don Draper is like so good at this that he literally forgot that he needs to like be like, thanks, Peggy. You know, like, here's the money I owe you for bail from when I was about to cheat on my wife with Stanky Puss. So the other two storylines that are happening in this episode are also very good. Pete and Trudy's storyline, I love, just because I love someone talking to Pete about his genitals. I could watch a whole show of Pete squirming,
I just
talking
well,
about
I like the,
sex
yeah.
stuff.
I like that Pete thinks his doctor is his psychiatrist.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true. He's so they're at a basically a doing a consult with like a fertility expert, and Pete is being asked these questions about his body, and I have a clip.
Did your testicles descend normally?
Absolutely.
See, that's a great question, because if I were a doctor and I saw Pete and I talked to him and I heard his voice, I believe that's the first thing I would ask him. Did your testicles descend normally? Because
yeah.
he is the most, like, he's very eunuch coded, you know, in ways, like castrati coded.
I also like that he's like trying to do a medical diagnostic, and Pete's like only motivation in life is to be like, listen, I am a normal man. I am Joe normal man. Whatever normal is, that is me.
For and Pete's I don't need sake, to- I'm the most normal guy in this gosh golly world. Yeah. Oh, I love it. All
Have
right.
you ever had difficulty completing the sexual act?
Drinking doesn't help. But no, I always reach home base.
I love baseball. I am not alien.
Do you have difficulties with arousal?
Jesus. I'm a red-blooded American male, okay?
No one is questioning your manhood, Mr. Campbell. You could be a warrior, an athlete, a bull of a man. George Washington was sterile. Fertility has nothing to do with manliness.
And yet he puts a lot of stock into his fertility. And so it's, I kind of love that. So he goes to,
because he gets proof that he's normal. He's like, oh, thank God, I'm the normal one.
Yeah, I have scientific proof that I'm normal. please stop printing in the newspaper that I am not normal. So Pete is in the bathroom to, you know, ready to fill his cup o' cum, and he's flipping through some nudie magazines. He's got, there's Nudie Facts, there's ING, the International Nudist Tour Guide. There's a random U.S. News and World Report, the true story of Pearl Harbor as Japanese tell it. And finally, his choice, Jaybird USA, in which they have stories like The Pleasure Seekers, Raw and Ready, and You and Your Bare Tootsies. I love 60s porn.
Yeah.
You and Your Bare Tootsies. Hubba hubba. Look at these little piggies went to market, and they're about to go wee, wee, wee all the way home. Anyways, it's like just feet. What a weirdo. So
wait, he masturbates to the Foot magazine? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
No, it's not a Foot magazine. There's just a Foot story within Jaybird USA.
Yes, there is one Foot story within the magazine that I am focusing on because I absolutely believe that Pete loves feet. Nothing
wrong
with
that. That would be awesome if we just learned of Pete's foot fetish throughout the show that we never noticed.
Yeah, we just keep watching him like gazing down at feet. He finds out that his cum is good, and there's just a fantastic scene of yelling between Pete and Trudy, and I have that as
but
well.
The nurse said that your sample was quite viable.
Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, are they?
I suppose.
This is what you wanted, isn't it?
No, you're right. It's a relief. Now we know it's me.
Right. So, Stone can blow up your ovaries or do whatever his cutting-edge plan is.
What a dick.
I can't believe you.
Wait a minute. You wanted to do this. You had to know this was a possible outcome. Maybe this is the way it's supposed to be. You have a baby. You can't travel. You can't go to the movies unless you have help. And that's expensive.
You're immature, Peter. You know that? Stop talking about how you're going to miss seeing Cape Fear for the third time.
I know one thing. I sure as hell wouldn't want a kid here watching this, Donnybrook.
So, I love Donnybrook.
Yeah, yeah.
And because I love it so much, I'm putting it in our segment. What?
What? What? What? What? What? What? What? What?
What?
What?
What?
What?
What?
What?
What?
What?
What?
So long.
What? What? What?
What? What?
All right. So, Donnybrook, I was like, this is great. What the fuck is Donnybrook? From just the context, I was like, I assume it means a fight. Yes.
It's a kerfuffle. It's a fracas. A dust up.
Yes. It is an all-out brawl, a melee.
A row.
Yes. But just some background. Donnybrook is the English spelling of the English pronunciation of the Irish Domnach Brach. the Church of St. Brock.
Well, that's what happens when you meet your da.
You meet your da and you get into a Donnybrook.
You meet your da in the pub.
St. Brock, who founded a church in the 8th century at the location of the Donnybrook Cemetery in Dublin, Ireland, in 1204, the English King John famous for the Magna Carta, thank you, granted a charter for an annual fair, like an American county fair featuring livestock produce, but later developing into a carnival, a medieval Irish Coney Island beset with drunks and brawlers during the...
That's where you go to punch your da.
Yeah, so Donnybrook is essentially the county fair where you go to punch your da. and so it's famous for being where you go... to
I feel,
fight.
Like I've said,
you got to fight.
All of our best words are secretly racist against the Irish.
Yes, 100%.
Whether it's Donnybrook or Murphy Bed,
Paddy Wagon.
Exactly.
McDonald's. Anyway, so that is that storyline, and we'll see what happens with Pete and Trudy and the baby. So also in the what segment is so Joan is getting engaged, and right before we find that out, Freddie does the punchline of a joke where...
Oh, yes. I'm glad you looked this up because I did not.
Well, no, I didn't look up the joke.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't find, but I know the fucking what the joke is. I'm sorry. The punchline of the joke is all you get. You don't get anything else. And the punchline of the joke is, move over, that's my job. Talking about like picking, what is it? He's like, here's a clip.
Picking seeds out of the
poop. We're walking in the park after lunch, and he sees these birds picking seeds out of some horse shit. He says, move over, fellas, that's my job.
He sees what picking seeds out of horse shit?
Birds.
Okay. And he says, move over, that's my job. What do you think the setup is?
I don't know.
Well, I guess we'll never know.
I mean, it reminds me of the show business joke about the guy whose job it is to clean up the elephant shit in the circus. And, you know, like for years and years, all he does is scoop up elephant shit and get all the elephant shit off. Stuff, and someone says to him, why don't you just quit? And he says, what, and leave show business?
Oh, that's great. See, that's a great joke.
Yeah.
So anyways, we find out that Joan is gonna get married, and that good old Donnie Draper has a new girl. The new girl, her name is Jane. She's hot. Everyone wants to fuck. Roger is, you know, a little bit jealous that Joan is going to be off the market, and tells him, he tells her this, which I love this.
Well, I think it's nice to hear the story of relatively young love.
Are you being a concerned daddy?
I'll tell you the same thing I told my daughter. If you put a penny in a jar every time you make love in the first year of marriage, and then you take a penny out of the jar every time you make love in the second year, you know what you have? A jar full of pennies.
I envy that girl having you to give her away.
I don't fully understand the jar full of pennies thing. Seems like a classic dad joke. But
because you fuck a lot in the first year and then you don't after that.
Right. But how would you know that from like the, you know.
Are you serious? Are you seriously telling me you don't understand this joke?
Oh, you take one away.
Yes.
You take one away when you take one away.
You take one away. All right. You know what? I blacked out during it, and I thought you had more pennies for the other years.
It took me a while to catch it. I've watched the show 100 times, and I didn't really get it until today. So,
No. That's right. That's, you know what? It's because I sometimes stop paying attention to things that I'm currently watching.
Well, the thing is, you take one of the pennies out and you suck on it, and then you know what a girl's piece he takes.
Yeah, they take like pennies. Oh, yummy, yummy, yummy. Anyways, finally, so with Jane, Jane is like showing off her, you know, 60s, whatever. It's like not a bra.
Her negligee
or some shit. Mm-hmm. Like
her slip.
Her slip. She's being a little.
She's asking for it.
She's asking for it. And then I love Kenny shoots a shot and gets totally fucked over by Freddie Rumsen in possibly the funniest fucking scene in Madman history. And I have that as well.
I have some very important talent coming in tomorrow to see Don. Somebody famous. And I just want to make sure you're aware of that.
What's your title?
Smooth. Title? I'm Ken. Cosgrove. Accounts.
Yes, you're here in the book with Jimmy Barrett.
Would you like to go see him sometime?
Hey, listen to this. It's Mozart.
They let him go for so long. You know what the wildest thing about that is? Immediately, I was like, yeah, that's Mozart. Like, it's...
I got it too, but I've also seen the show before.
No, I think even at the time, I was like, he's doing Mozart. I hear it. I hear the symphony. And it's
Freddie Rumsen. Freddie Rumsen is a gem.
Yes.
He is a keeper. He is a hero, just one of the greatest characters in the history of television and definitely in the history of Mad Men.
Yes.
He is fantastic.
He is so great.
Slightly off topic, but one thing that they do in this show, and I always tell myself that I'm going to do, is introduce yourself with first and last name, because...
Wait, what do you mean? You don't introduce yourself with first and last name?
No, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? I always tell myself that I'm going to, but then I always chicken out in the moment.
In what situations do you guys introduce yourself with first and last name?
I mean, well, like, I guess I haven't really, like, talked to a new person in a while, but I feel like, yeah, it's just like, I feel like I've done it. You know what it is? It's every time I have the opportunity when I have to introduce myself, I say Matt Lieb because there's always a lot of Matts.
No, it makes sense. You don't remember a first name.
Not Matt.
No, I think it's all names. Like, you don't remember people that you meet at a party, but you remember every comedian that you ever did an open mic with.
That's
because
true.
You're used to hearing their full name. Like, all the
true.
Comedians that I know, we all know each, like, we all easily remember each other's names because we're used to hearing each other's full names.
Yeah.
But then, like, you meet a person at like, a friend of a friend's get-together like six times before you remember their name because it's like, who are you? I'm Julie. I was like, oh, fucking, who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit when you say, who are you? I don't give a shit.
You just don't. But so, like, I have that in my head every time I'm introducing myself to someone, but no one ever does first and last.
Where did
name,
this come
so
from?
Weird.
From Freddie Rumsen.
It was they all do it. Freddie Rumsen, Ken Cosgrove.
Yeah,
Pete Campbell,
Harry Crane.
It's true. I think first last name is good. I do it because they're both one syllable. What am I gonna? Oh, I don't want to say both syllables.
Yeah,
I'm not.
They do it on the show with everybody.
That's true.
Right? Roger Sterling, Joan Harris.
Yeah. It's just what you did back then, and it's smart. It makes sense.
You know,
Peggy. What's Peggy's last name?
Olson.
Yeah, Peggy Olson.
You know who doesn't do it? Little kids. That's why so far all we know is Glenn. Glenn from next door.
Yeah,
I'm sure he has a last name. I just don't remember what it is.
I don't remember what
it is. Wiener. Weiner. It's
that's right.
Son of Wiener. I used to think he destroyed the whole show. I used to think he was the biggest problem with Mad Men was little Glenn.
He's the best part of
it. He's the best part. He's the magical
cat. I do like that the actor's name is Holden Wiener, but...
that his first name?
That's his actual name is Holden Wiener.
Wow. What a horrible thing.
Yeah.
What a horrible thing to have done to him.
Yeah. What a horrible thing. Yeah. Well, you know, my dad's a writer. Anyways, so yeah, that is the episode. A favorite scene, a least favorite scene, or something we didn't talk about. Dave.
One thing that we don't talk about is in the meeting where they're all waiting for Don to show up. Freddie's dying for a drink. Fucking Ken is dying to eat a pastrami sandwich.
Yeah.
And
is that
Don,
in this episode?
Oh, it's not? I guess I watched both episodes.
Yeah.
I watched two episodes back to back.
Yeah, I think that's in the previous one.
Oh, fuck. I don't remember anything that we didn't talk about. Yeah. My bad.
No, it's all good. But hey, that scene is great. I do love that scene. Vince, a favorite scene, a least favorite scene, something we didn't talk about.
I thought it was interesting that Don ordered Bobby Barrett a steak tartare because, I don't know, he was like, you're a nasty bitch. I bet you like raw beef.
I bet you like raw beef.
But Betty likes raw beef. All these chicks, they want that raw beef all the time back then.
Yeah, I like raw beef too. You know what I mean? Raw and ready. Get your tootsies out. Yummy, yummy, yummy. All right. If I had to give this episode.
Wait, hold on, Matt. Let me ask you.
Please.
What was something in this episode that we missed that you could think of?
You know, I at this point.
One more thing.
Fuck.
No, one question ahead. I had was that it was just the look that the doctor gives when Pete leaves. Like, it was left ambiguous to where, like, you could think, like, does this doctor fucking hate Pete or is he,
Or is he
just used to this? Like, I couldn't tell. It was
everybody hates Pete. That could be the name of the show.
He's the most hateable dude.
It was just a nice note of, like, slight ambiguity, like, up for interpretation.
Yeah. There's one thing we didn't talk about that I really liked, which was when Bobby is at Peggy's apartment and is calling Jimmy to say that she's not going to, you know, the reason she's not there, why she didn't come back or whatnot. And she says, I went to I'm at a fat farm is, you know, her excuse. And you don't hear Jimmy on the other line, but Bobby is like saying, yeah, because people, you know, were saying that I look like I had gained weight. And then there's a pause and she goes, no, Jimmy, you're fine. Which I love the idea that without even hearing him, you know, he's going, do you think I look fat too?
Yeah.
Should I go to a fat farm? Because Jimmy's the most insecure man in the world. And also the scene in which Jimmy comes in to thank Don is interesting because it is very ambiguous. You do not know if he suspects anything. It seems like he does with a couple of lines. Like, well, looks like we both got what we wanted. Like he just has this look on his face like he wants to confront him. But you're just not sure, like, what he knows. And we will find out what he knows in subsequent episodes of Mad Men. If I had to give this episode a letter grade, I'd give it a B plus. Vince, what would you give this episode?
Yeah, definitely a little bit of an off episode. Also, one of the greatest shows ever. So, solid B plus.
Oh my God. And Dave, what would you give this episode if you had to give it a letter grade?
Listen, I love being on your guys' show. I'll give it a B plus.
Hell yeah. It is a solid B plus episode of Mad Men and a solid A plus 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 episode of Mad Yourself a Man. Dave, thank you so much for coming back on and talking Mad Men with us. Always love having you.
Thank you so much. I love coming on your show.
Hell yeah. Of course. It makes me happy too. Once again, the podcast Dopey, really amazing podcast. I love the episode I did, and I love the interviews you get. Where can people find it? Where can people follow you?
It's called Dopey Podcast on social media, and it is available wherever anybody listens to any podcasts. But our January 11th show got canceled because of the fires. So we're going to do it on June 7th. And I would love for you guys both to come. And even Brent could come if he can. It's in Los Angeles.
Oh, hell yes.
On June 7th. So I will get you guys the information.
Yes, please do. I would love to do. I would love to come out to it. That sounds amazing. Well, again, thank you so much. And please, everyone, come out to the live show. There will be a link in the description. Smoking, drinking, joking, cheating, groping, squeezing, broken 60s guy. Patreon.com/Fratcast. The $8 tier or more gets you a shout out. You get yourself a prep school name, and everybody loves that. And we have, count them, four names today. That's right. These are people who gave us $8 or more on Patreon, and we are giving them their due shout-outs. So let's do it. The first one, okay, so it's a $20 donor who or subscriber who is, their name is Joe Dirt. That's like the name that they chose. Which I'm like, they can't, we can't do a fucking prep school name with Joe Dirt.
So why not?
I mean, I guess we can.
I could do that.
Okay. All right. Well, just because I looked
at calling this guy Primus because his name is Mud. He's dirt. He gets all wet and then he turns into mud and then
makes the Brown album.
Yep, exactly.
I love it. Primus is good. And I think I got from the email just their last name is Proskay. So we'll call this person Primus Proske. I just want it like, cause for $20, I'm like, I really want to get the right name. And I feel like people don't know. Okay. The next one is Cat Domenica.
Domenica. She comes here on a Sunday.
My wife.
No. Cat. Her name's Cat. We call her Big Puss.
Oh, hey, if you're looking for Sunday pussy, look no further than Cat Domenica. Sorry. Okay, two more. Anchor Dessau.
Anchor? What's this guy? A friggin' sailor? We call this guy Popeye the Sailor Man.
Oh, he lives in a garbage can, and we like it. Thank you, Anchor Dessau. And finally, Kaylin Birialt. So K-A-E-L-I-N. Kaylin, I think I got that. Last name is B-E-R-I-A-U-L-T. Birialt.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know the rules of
Birialt. Like maybe it's French. I didn't think about it as French. Maybe it's French. Okay. Kaylin Birialt.
Call this guy the house guest.
Okay. Why?
Because Cato Kaylin, the world's most famous house guest.
Oh my God. Cato Kaylin, the actor who didn't do it. I don't know. I'm doing my best here. Cato Kaylin. Okay, that's good enough. It's great. The house guest is a great name. Those are all great names. Thank you, Joe Dirt. Thank you, Kat Domenica. Thank you, Anchor. Thank you, Kaylin. Thank you to all of you out there for the $8 tier shoutouts or more. And you can get one yourself by going to patreon.com/frotcast and getting yourself to the $8 tier or more. Frotcast@gmail.com for all your questions, comments, and concerns. Vince, what is the Google Voice number?
415-275-0030.
All right, everyone. Thanks again so much for listening. And until next time, I don't think about you at all. Trudy wants a bambina. Trudy wants a bambina. Se necesita una boca de peach sperm. Una boca de peach sperm. Me bust in a cup, yeah. Yo no soy fucking sterile. Yo no soy fucking sterile. Soy viable. Bambino. 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 Trudy wants a bambina. Trudy just wants a baby. Se necesito una boca de Pittsburgh. Una boca de peach for me, bust in the cup, yeah. Arriba, arriba. Yeah, motherfucker, sucking on dick is what I do. Everyone knows, yeah, that it's true. Yo, what up, bitch? My name's Rick Valens. I died in a plane crash. They made a movie with Blue Diamond Phillips and, it had Isai Morales in it as well. Good guy. Anyways, here we go. Let's do it. Trudy just wants a bambina. Trudy wants a bambina. So necesito una boca de peach sperm. Una boca de peach sperm. Alright. You know, I could keep going, but you essentially got it. Bambino. Anyways, okay, wonderful.
Hey, baseball fans, go yard with BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Enjoy top odds on your favorite home run bets, fast and convenient ways to play same-game parlays, special boosts and tokens, and so much more. From the first pitch to the game-winning fireworks, there are more ways than ever to supercharge your excitement. Download the BetMGM app and get your piece of MLB action. BetMGM is an official partner of Major League Baseball. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER available in the U.S. For New York, 8778. HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. First bet offers for new customers only. All other promotions for existing customers. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.